Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sunday School today. Good to have all of you here. Good to have some visitors with us. Good to have the Christian missionaries with us today. Evangelists for the military. And I appreciate people like him that's doing a good job helping military people. You know, people in the military need help like we all do. And I appreciate people that are dedicated their lives to serve the Lord in whatever capacity God may lead us. And God leads us differently. He really does. But thank you, brother, for being here, and your wife. Good to have you with us today for our Sunday school time. Well, this week, Lord willing, we'll wind up the book of Jonah. And next week, you have a new teacher with a new subject, okay? But today, we're going to try to finish up the book of Jonah. So turn there, if you will, please. The book of Jonah. In chapter number 4. Jonah, chapter number 4. Let's pray before we get into our lesson today. Heavenly Father, once again, we're thankful for life. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together here in your house today. Lord, as we come now, Lord, we open your word. And Lord, we just pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher today. We pray he will lead and guide in everything that we say, and everything that we do. We thank you for everyone that's come. We ask you, dear God, to supply the need spiritually. Lord, in every life that's here today, we ask you, Lord, to strengthen those that are having physical needs at this time. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for what you are doing. Sometimes it's a gradual process, gradual time that you work, but Lord, we're grateful that you're working, and we pray you continue to help in the needs of people here today. Thank you again for everyone that's come. And Lord, we commit this time to you as we read your word. I pray, God, the Word of God would be used by the Spirit of God, Lord, to challenge us, to encourage us in these days we're living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we begin, when we begin the book of Jonah studying it, I said that, of course, Satan doesn't like the Bible, period. Amen? He doesn't like the Word of God. But there are three books specifically that he does not like. He does not, first of all, like the book of Genesis. Why is that? Because the book of Genesis predicts the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He doesn't like that. Secondly, he doesn't like the book of Daniel. He doesn't like the book of Daniel because there it predicts the second coming of Christ and him destroying his enemies when he comes. And thirdly, he doesn't like the book of Jonah. Because the book of Jonah predicts the, I lost my thought, that flash. The book of Jonah predicts the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are things that Satan does not like. He doesn't like the fact that Jesus is even here, has been here, you know. But nevertheless, he has, and we're grateful for that. Now, in Jonah chapter 4, we went through this chapter last week. And, you know, it's a known fact that this chapter alone demonstrates to us the fact of any reasonable doubt that the Bible is not a book man would write if he could. Last week I said we were probably in Jonah in chapter number 3 with a victorious revival that he had there in the city of Nineveh. But we find here God doesn't stop there. He continues with chapter number 4 for a specific reason. And we find this here today. Here we find in chapter 4, God's chosen man, his prophet. He's been his prophet here now, and he's presented him here as an angry, pouting prophet. He's upset. He's upset with the people of Nineveh. He's upset with God. And we find him presented this way, and He's hoping that the people of Nineveh would refuse the message that he preached and literally be destroyed. I said last week, can you imagine God using a man to speak to people that he doesn't like, that literally he hates, and God gives revival through those people anyway? We see the failure of success many, many times throughout the book of Jonah. It's what it is, really. We're seeing man mess up, but God come along and solving the problem, okay? That's the way our lives are, isn't it? Many times. We fail, But God comes along and helps us to be able to be get over what we're over, what we're going through in our life. That's life, the failure of success. And we see this here in the book of Jonah. Now, in chapter 4, even though Jonah is upset with God, he's upset with the people of Nineveh, we find that God now is attempting here to reason with Jonah like he did with Cain and like he does with us and all sinners every day. He's attempting now to reason with him and to help him to understand what's going on. Now, in chapter 4 and verse number 9, well, chapter 4 begins, first of all, that we know that when people in Nineveh repented and God, they turned from their wickedness and their sins, why, Jonah got exceedingly mad. He got upset about it. And we find that in the first chapter, the first few verses of this chapter. And he had got to the point that he would really, he rather die than to live to see these Ninevites repent and get right with God. And he was so upset about it. And verse number 9 says in chapter 4, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death." Now we know what happened. Jonah left the town. He went outside the town on the hill. He set him up a booth of limbs, make him a house, so to speak. And the leaves fell off of that. And then one night, God sprouted up a gourd, and it grew fast, gave him some shade the next day. And he was content for that day underneath that gourd. There, he was content. And that night, what happened? God sent a worm and killed the gourd. And the next day, there he was back in the sun again. And not only was the sun, God sent the east wind to beat upon his head. You know, and it was just, you know, just frustrating Jonah, you see. But now he says, God says to him, and God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even to death." He was so upset about what had happened. Here he is again. He's pouting. He's upset here. And now God, in verse number 10, look at verse number 10. God is going to put here, he did put Jonah's attitude into perspective today. Notice what he says. "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." In other words, Jonah, why is it you having so much concern, compassion for this gourd? You had nothing to do with it coming up. You had nothing to do with it dying. But yet you are sold out. You love a worthless plant more than you love eternal souls that's in Nineveh. Why is it that way? He's saying this. You have no mercy for an entire city that's facing judgment, but you're concerned about a gourd, about a plant. He says this. Now, verse number 11. Look what it says here. Verse number 11. He says, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much more?" Why aren't you concerned about a city? Why aren't you concerned about people, he says? A plant has no value as far as eternal value. Even one person, much less 120,000 people in this great city. Why are you more concerned about a plant than you are these people that have eternal souls? And through all that, Jonah is still missing. He's still missing the greatness of God's grace and God's mercy. He still doesn't get it, even through all this that, that God did for him. He won the battle. Jonah, he won the battle, if you please, of preaching the message of God to Nineveh. He did that. But on the other hand, I said last week, he has lost the war of his own heart. It's because his own heart is still wicked. His heart is not loving the people of Nineveh. What we're seeing is easier to hate than it is to love. It's easier to hate than it is to love. We see that here in the life of Jonah, here in this. The failure of success. The failure of success. Now, what happens next? This is all the count we have of Jonah. Where does the rest of the story go? Well, you can fill in as good as I can. What might have happened? We don't know. But nevertheless, probably in the weeks, days, and months ahead, As Jonah was setting out there, and he finally sees these 40 days have passed, and the city is still there, and it has not been destroyed. Okay? It's still there. But what's Jonah going to do? Most likely, he's going to probably leave. He's probably going to head back towards home. But yet, we see here, even the rebuke of God in verses 10 and 11, no doubt is probably going to be in his mind and even in his heart. Jonah, why do you have more concern for a plant than you do people? A plant than you do souls of mankind? I've emphasized this, tried to, the last 3 months, that this book of Jonah is dealing with compassion, having compassion. He's trying to get us to see that we all need compassion. And as Jonah, wherever he went, after this account closes here, if he went home, wherever he went, no doubt, this rebuke of God weighed heavily on his heart. Weighed heavily on his heart. And as he journeyed, and wherever he got to where he was going to go, no doubt, his heart, he probably had a heart of love more than he ever had before because of what God had done through him and for him here. He had the love for the lost. He had a love for even his enemies that he did not have before. He did not have before. You know, isn't it interesting how God can work in all of our hearts and change us? I mean, he can change all of us. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. And who can know them? You know, I don't even know my heart. Neither do you. But God knows all our hearts. And God's able to change all of our hearts too. You know, if we will submit to him and allow him to do this. Now, Jonah, in writing this account here, he was frank and he was honest. He was frank and he was honest. Even though we see a lot of mistakes, a lot of sin, a lot of flaws in Jonah, he was at least honest, wasn't he? He was honest when he wrote it here, you see. And he did that to remind us why love is always better than hate. Love is always better than hate in our lives. So we see this is a story here of Jonah. Now, as we've been through Jonah, we've seen failure versus success. We've seen man fail and God come along and picking it up and making it successful. All throughout this book, that's what we see. Actually, it's all through the Bible, isn't it? Man doing his best, sometimes even failing, but yet God always comes along and gives the victory somehow or another. He gets in control. He's in control. Now, there's one thing. There's one thing in the lessons here in Jonah that connect the failures and the success. One thing in particular that connects these things in this book we find here. And that's what I call the thread of mercy. It's God's mercy. Connects the failures and the successes, okay? Now, we see, what is mercy? Mercy is getting what one does not deserve. Folks, I don't know about you, I thank God for mercy on me. Because I know I did not get what I deserved. If I got what I deserved, I surely wouldn't be here today. I would probably be in hell. Because of the mercy of God, though, we're able to be here and sit and hear the Word of God talk to us and preach to us and to worship God together. I'm thankful today for God's mercy. I really am. God's mercy. And we see this throughout the book of Jonah. Even in chapter 1, we see God pursuing Jonah. We see it, and he's restoring him. Jonah goes out the opposite way he should have gone, got on the boat, went out into the sea. And God, through nature, pursues him, tries to get him back on the right road, so to speak. And finally, he restores him. That's, folks, that's the mercy of God. When a servant of God will go the opposite way from which God wants him to go, and God uses forces that he alone can use to re-guide that person back to where he ought to be, that's mercy. That's mercy. Jonah did not deserve that. He did not deserve that. But because of God's mercy, God gave it to him. He pursued him. He tried to restore him back to where he was and get him on the right road again to do what God wanted him to do. I'm glad that God gives us not only a second chance, but many chances in our life to do what he wants us to do. day after day and week after week. We also see mercy in him sparing the sailors. You know, that was a bad storm when they were out on that boat and Jonah was down there sleeping. They went through a terrible storm. No doubt it was probably one of the worst storms these sailors had ever seen in their life, because they knew what a storm was. They knew how to row a boat. They knew how to get a boat back to land in storms, but this was one they could not. They had to give up. No matter how hard they tried, they could not direct that boat back to the land. Why? You know, because God was in control. That's why. God was in control of this, and God here was, through all this storm that they went through, he spared those sailors. Not one of them drowned, and not one of them was injured that we know of. This is the mercy of God, folks, what I'm trying to say. The mercy of God. We see it. Failure and success. Failure and success is tied together with mercy. The mercy of God. God giving us what we do not deserve. Even in the miraculous salvation of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, we see the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Again, how God can use a prophet that is backslidden, that has not the love of God in his heart, in his life, to go to a place and present the word that he declares him to present, and God give the increase. God give revival. God see these people turn from their evil ways and their sins and turn to him. That's the mercy of God. The mercy of God. You know, sometimes I wonder how God can use any of us. Really. We're just flesh. I mean, we all fail and come short of the glory of God every day. But yet somehow God, miraculously, in his mercy, he uses us. Somehow, again, to present a tract, to talk to somebody about Jesus. He uses us if we are available, if we make ourselves available. So we see here the mercy of God in him pursuing and restoring Jonah. We see the mercy of God in him sparing the sailors. We see the mercy of God in the miraculous salvation of the nation of the city of Nineveh. We also see the mercy of God in the spiritual failures of Jonah. Jonah failed spiritually. He literally did he not? Not only we see how he failed spiritually. First of all, we see that he failed spiritually because he experienced the mercy of God. But then he wasn't willing to give the mercy of God. You know, he wasn't willing to give none whatsoever the mercy. He did not like those people. He hated those people. And he was not going to have no mercy given to them at all. Jonah failed. He failed here. The spiritual failure of Jonah. He experienced mercy, but was not willing to give any. You know, I think about the mercy of God in my life and your life. I wonder, am I giving out mercy like God gives to me? How much mercy am I giving out towards people? Do I have mercy on people? Or am I selfish? We also see that Jonah received love from God. He received love from those sailors. They could have killed him. But yet, he gave out none. Jonah was not a loving person. He was a selfish person. He was an angry person. He never gave out any love. We also see Jonah, he benefited, if you please, from the very patience of God. But he resented God for showing patience to the city of Nineveh, the people there. We see that he, you know, patience sometimes is something that we all need more of. When we experience patience, we need to give out patience too. We need to give out patience. Be patient with people. We see the one who is forgiven, you and I, whoever, the one who is forgiven much should also love much. Love much. You know, there's no reason on earth, and I say this from my heart, there's no reason on earth why I, in my heart, should hate anybody. When I look at how much love God's given me, I have no reason to hate anybody. None whatsoever. I don't care what they do to me. I have no reason to hate somebody because of the love that's been given out to me, how God has forgiven me. The one who has received mercy should also be merciful. Merciful. Some of you may remember years ago, the guys from Asia came, called them a trio, but it was four of them. They sang at a camp meeting, "Merciful to Me." I like that song they sang. God was merciful to me. Not only He was, but He still is. He still is merciful to me. I like that. I really do. Now, what has God taught us in the book of Jonah? What have you learned? What have we learned in the book of Jonah as we've gone through it? First of all, we've learned that God is concerned with heathens. He's concerned about everybody. No matter what nationality, no matter where people are, God loves everybody. The Bible says, "For God so loved who? The world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We've learned this through Jonah. How God loves these people. I'm talking about God loves people that sometimes maybe we don't love, but God loves them anyway. God loves them anyway. He's trying to reveal to us how He wants us to love everybody too, like He does. So we see, first of all, that God's concerned for the heathens, for the lost people. And you know what? He wants us to warn them of the judgment of God coming. He wants us to warn them of the judgment of God coming to them. And that's our responsibility, folks. I mean, it's one thing to love somebody, and it's good to do that. But we need to warn them. We need to tell them what's going to happen if they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior and never trust Him in their lives. They have no hope. They have no hope. You know, probably you can say this, and I can too. The hardest people sometimes to witness to is our family. Our family. Why? It's because they know us. You know, they know us. They know everything about us. But when you try to go out and witness to somebody that you've never met before, you've never seen before, God gives you an opportunity. That's a time, first of all, to love them, and also a time to warn them. Because chances are you will never see that person again. Probably. You hope to, you would desire to, because maybe you invite them to church or whatever. But chances are you probably will never see them again. Therefore, we need to realize this, that God is concerned for the heathen, and He wants His children that are saved to warn them of the judgment that is to come. Whether I believe, where people believe it or not, I believe the Bible. And the Bible tells us that one day we all will stand before God. The saved people will, and the lost people will. Everybody will. Therefore, there's a judgment day coming for all of us. And we need to be ready. And lost people need to be ready. They need to be saved. So we've seen that in the book of Jonah. Also, we've seen in the book of Jonah, in facing a difficult job that we think that God wants us to do, sometimes it's easy to avoid the responsibility and say, "I can't do it," or "I won't do it." It's always easy to say, "I'm not going to do it." You know, when it's a difficult task, God will not give you or anybody a job to do if He don't provide the help and strength that you need to do it. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's God-given, God will give you what you need to do that job, no matter what it is. We also see in the book of Jonah that God's powerful. He's very powerful, and He can use the forces of nature if He so desires to fulfill His own purpose. And He did that in Jonah's life. God is in control. God's in control, folks. He's in control of everything in your life. He's in control of everything in my life, no matter what's happening right now. You may be going through some bad times right now, but just remember this, folks. God is in control. You're going through a season in your life that's bad. It's like nothing's good, but God's going to see you through it. God's going to see you through it. Over 2 years ago, when I fell and broke my back, I went through a season. What in the world is going on? Why did this happen to me? You know, I've been up and down ladders all my life, like a monkey, you know? But this one time I fell and broke my back. And I was in a cast for about 12 weeks. And it wasn't easy, folks. It wasn't easy. And I know some of you have gone through worse things than I've ever gone through in my life. But I'm saying this, when we're going through our life and storms like this, things are happening to us and we don't know why it's happening, just remember that God's in control. God is taking you through a time in your life that you'll never forget. And God is taking you through a time in your life that one day He's going to be able to use you to help somebody else. Because they're going to be going through it too. All of us are going to go through trials and testings in this life. It may be financial, it may be physical, it may be family, whatever it is. We all have trials and tests, do we not? And therefore, God is trying to prepare us to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, isn't it good? Isn't it good? I shouldn't say that. What's the word? But it's rewarding, maybe I should say. Whenever I talk, and I just put this out because I broke my back. I have talked to people that has broken their back in the past. There's a relationship there that I have with them when they talk to me that I don't have to somebody that has never broken their back and comes to talk to me about my back. See? There's something that unites us together because we've gone through this thing together. You know, every situation is different, but there's a lot of similarities too because we have to trust God to get through it, to get through every situation. So we see here that God is powerful and He can use His whatever He wants to for His own purpose. And we see this. We also see that though God will punish disobedience, and He will, He still desires to give mercy. He still desires to give mercy. When we disobey God, God's not going to kill us and wipe us off the mount. God's going to give mercy. That's the way God is. That's the way God is. I'm glad today to know that. We also see in the book of Jonah that sometimes the most unpromising mission fields are often the most responsive. Nineveh was a place nobody wanted to go. You probably couldn't get a missionary to go there, brother, in this day because it's so wicked. But God directed Jonah there. And what happened? The greatest revival recorded in history took place in Nineveh. It took place there. It sure did. We see it was probably 150 years later before it was destroyed. But nevertheless, it was a great revival. God desires, God literally yearns, if you please, with us to deal with us in mercy and kindness every day of our life. God's our Father, folks. He's our Father. Did you get that? God is our Father. And He cares for His children. He cares for us every day in our life. We're thankful for that. So what's the purpose of Jonah? To stir up compassion in God's people. To help us to love. Love people. Love people. Say that with me. Love people. Love people everywhere we go. Doesn't matter. Red, yellow, black, and white. We need to love them. We need to love them, you see. Now, we know that Jesus Christ was certainly greater than Jonah in many ways. First of all, He was greater in His person. Jesus Christ was the very Son of God on earth. He wasn't just a man. He was the very Son of God, God in the flesh. Jesus Christ was greater than Jonah in His perfect obedience. Jesus obeyed His Father. He did everything He wanted Him to do while He was here, some 33 plus years. There was not one time that He disobeyed His Father. Jonah was very disobedient, wasn't he? We also see that Christ was greater than Jonah in His message. The message of Jesus Christ was forgiveness, salvation, salvation. We also see He was greater in His outreach. Jesus Christ, His outreach was what? The world. The whole world. Jonah's was just a city called Nineveh. But yet we see Christ is greater than Jonah. In his sacrifice, He died to save others. Jesus did. He died to save you. He died to save me. Thank God for His death. Also, He's greater in His love for those who do not deserve it. His love for those that do not deserve it. Jonah was like we are. He was a man. He had the same nature we have. And sometimes it's hard to love people. But Jesus Christ loves everybody. He proved that by dying on the cross. Now, as we apply this to our lives spiritually, we must all realize there is danger in running from God's plan for our life. There's danger. When God calls you, God speaks to you about doing something for Him. We need to do it. We need to do it. Don't run from Him. Don't run from Him. God may not kill you, but God's going to make you miserable. If He wants you to do something, He's got a call on your life, you're going to be very miserable. And you're going to wish you had done it earlier. The divine work of imperfect men, we find, as channels of truth. In other words, God uses mankind, imperfect as we are, to get His word out. To get His word out. You know, God's word will not return void. It will not return void. No matter how it's presented, it's not going to return void. I thank God for that. And we also see, again, how broad the mercy of God is. How far does it extend? It extends worldwide. It extends worldwide. I'm thankful for that. Someone said the ultimate expression of God's mercy is to visualize Him on the cross, there with His feet planted, His hands planted, and see His arms stretched out to a whole world. The ultimate picture of God's mercy. He loves everybody. Everybody. I'm thankful today to know that. As Christians, what do we need? As Christians today, we need to see as God sees, and be moved with compassion for the multitudes. He speaks about that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I looked upon the multitudes, and He was moved with compassion. Compassion. You know, I often think myself, I try to remind myself, when I go out here to the grocery store, wherever I go, and I visualize people, and I'm thinking in my mind, I wonder if that person is a sick Christian. I wonder if they died, if they go to heaven. You know, I pray that might be a continual thing I think every day in my life, because that's very important. It's very important. If God gives me the opportunity to hand out a tract, to witness, to speak to them, I need to do that. Sometimes we have to make ourselves do that. You know that? In other words, it's not going to come natural to pat a tract. If you're not used to it. But if you have them always in your pocket, and you're always doing it, it's going to become a natural thing for you. You see? It'll become a natural thing for you. But it takes that starting. You've got to start somewhere to get that initiative, that drive to do it, and that desire to do it, you see. God has within all of us a desire to witness, okay? But it's not going to be stirred unless we begin moving it. You know, God is not going to knock you on the head and say, witness. You know, there's something within you. You've got to want to do it. You've got to have a desire to do it. You've got to pray for God to give you the grace to do it, you know, in order for you to do it. Everybody is important to God and should be to me and to you. Everybody. Everybody in the whole world. We're all different. We all have faults. We all have failures and flaws. But you know, God still loves me, and God still loves you unconditionally. Just like you are. Just like I am. And sometimes that's a hard thing for us to learn to do. Love people just like they are. But God does, and I'm glad He does. I'm glad He does. Well, as we sum up this study of Jonah, we see that Jonah himself, he was successful in running from God's mercy, wasn't he? He was successful and running from the mercy of God. But on the other hand, we see his greatest failure was not wanting others to experience that same mercy. That was his biggest failure in his life. My prayer is for me and for you today that God will help us succeed in giving out His mercy. Succeed in giving out His mercy to those who need it, as we do. As we do. All of us today in this world need God's mercy. We need God's mercy. We need it, listen, we need His mercy more than we need His blessing. God has blessed us so much, with so much in this world, in this life we live. We have failed to realize the more important thing. We're like Jonah. We're placing more value on plants or things in this world than we are the souls of men. We've got to that point. And may God help us to reverse it. Help us to be able to be willing to give out the mercy of God. Yes, we see here in Jonah how Jonah himself, he failed God. But God used him anyway. God used him anyway. Jonah is a picture of the Jewish nation. We see they were disobedient. And Jonah was. We see also that they were cast out by the Lord. We see that they were preserved, though even though in opposition, God preserved them. And we also see that they were brought back again and given another chance. Isn't God good? He's good to all of us. He really is. And I thank God today for the second chance, the third chance, the many chances that God gives us to serve Him. Let's not only succeed like Jonah did in trying to give out God's mercy, but let's let others have part of this great thing that God's given us, the mercy of God. What a blessing it is to be a vessel that God could use and would use. I have a little poem I want to read by Helen Steiner Reich in closing today. When we're talking about compassion and being compassionate to people, it's entitled "That Flowers Leave Their Fragrance on the Hand of Those That Bestow Them." Flowers leave their fragrance on the hand that bestows them. Helen Steiner Rice. Its truth is so simple, it's easy to do. And it works every time, and successfully too. For you can't do a kindness without a reward. Not in silver nor gold, but in joy from the Lord. You can't light a candle to show others the way without feeling the warmth of that bright little ray. And you can't pluck a rose all fragrant with dew without part of its fragrance remaining on you. God's compassion. God's compassion. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the life of people that you have recorded to enable us, Lord, to learn from their mistakes, from your teaching them. Lord, that we could all also be taught how we are to live our lives for you. Lord, I pray, God, that something has been said these last months to encourage people in this class. I pray, God, that our hearts have been moved and realized the mercy of God that is shown upon us every day. And Lord, that you might stir us and give us that desire to be compassionate to other people in this world in which we live. Lord, we live in a world that's full of sin, people hating one another. But, oh God, may your people, Lord, may we not be that way. Life is too short. Life is more important than that. We have a job to do to reach the lost. And God, help us to be busy doing it. Father, we now commit the next service to you. We pray for the singing, the congregation, the special singing. We pray for our pastor that you would anoint him afresh with power, give him liberty to speak today to our hearts. God, if there's one in our midst today that's not saved, never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray this might be the day. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do now in the rest of this day. And thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.